everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to discuss the second half of an episode with two names, depending on how much you give a shit. Ty Tuesday, joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey,
yo.
What's up?
Hey.
For anyone who's not aware, this is part two of The Fat Lady Sings and or The Tupperware Massacre, which we can't get into again, but it's a whole thing. This is part two. You should listen to part one first, I think.
Yeah, it's important that we mention the Tupperware Massacre bit again, because that's going to happen soon. So, like, I don't want you guys to be blindsided. Like, well, they said there was going to be a Tupperware Massacre in the last episode of their podcast, and it never happened. Surely they weren't misleading us. No, it's just we only covered, like, 10 minutes of the episode because so much happens in it.
Is our listener in this situation, like, actually dandy? Because that sounds like you promised a Tupperware Massacre and there wasn't one.
Do you think that's the implication? Okay, we'll get there. But I was going to say, do you think that's the implication is, like, that's what Dandy called it?
I mean,
because no one else would, we'll get there, but we're getting there right now. I just want to say,
the Tupperware, yeah.
And also, this isn't a real Tupperware party. They're getting finger blasted by Lobster Boy. It's not a real Tupperware party. I want to throw that out there.
No, please.
It's like a Tupperware party massacre slash heist. Because he does take a lot of the Tupperware.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as well to be like the Lobster Boy finger blast massacre. That has a different connotation. Yeah. That has a different connotation. But I would like to remind, because it does live, because I have to do so much research for our lovely listeners, and by that I mean I have to watch American Horror Story. I would like to remind everybody so that it has to live in their heads rent-free, too, because they've had a week of reprieve, where we left off, which was the worst interaction possible between Jimmy, Maggie, and Barbara, the aforementioned fat lady who does not sing in this episode.
Right.
Jimmy is drunk all the time, very sad. Maggie is like, hey, I don't like that I walked in on you having sex with Barbara. It's kind of weird. And then he's like, fuck you, my skinny ex-girlfriend. I love my new girlfriend. Hubba hubba ding ding. And then honks her boob and says that she tastes like candy, but not like as a bit, like as for real.
Lemon lime lollipop, right?
Which is like, what a weird and specific thing, also.
Weren't Jimmy and Maggie like planning to like skip town and like get out of here together and all that?
You made a good point. They did, didn't they?
Do you not remember what the thing was that thwarted that plan? It was
that
we
ran out of
Jimmy...
gas? No, that was not too old. No,
that was a different problem. A problem that Jimmy did have, but a different one.
Was it that Jimmy got inspired by the Toledo Code?
No, that came after. It was that he had cracked the case on who the other serial killer was, and that it was definitely Dandy. And then he proceeded to tell exactly zero other people this information for the next three episodes, and then still didn't until now when he's drunk and no one believes him.
And that's why he's not with Maggie, because he figured out who the killer was?
Correct. Well, he's not with Maggie because she was
like
kind of mean.
Wrong. Is something the matter with what you've just heard?
Yeah, exactly. That's why they didn't elope, because the reason they were going to elope was because Maggie was like, hey, this weird guy that I came here with is probably going to kill you, even though he's like pretending to be a weird Hollywood guy. He wants your hands. We should
really
leave.
Getting into character, too. Like, really playing the character of weird Hollywood guy.
Yeah. And then he was like, well, I can't elope because I know who the guy who tried to kill you is. It's the guy who took the twins. Now I can't leave because that's very important to me. And then he proceeded to tell exactly zero people about it for a few weeks, I guess, because it's now Christmas. we just skipped over all of November. And then now Dandy's like just kind of roaming around at the freak show at his leisure. And Jimmy's like, hey, wait a second. That's the guy I said was a serial killer. Yeah, but yeah.
You also make a good point. We were robbed of a Thanksgiving episode.
So true.
Yeah, we should have got one. It would have been awful, but, you know, it would have been a really good time.
Bad. I think did we get one in a previous season? I'm trying to remember if we ever had a Thanksgiving episode specifically. Was there one in season one? With like the gay couple, or was that no? That was Halloween. They did Halloween again.
They've done Halloween, yeah. And Christmas. I feel like there is one, but I can't remember if I'm imagining that or.
I was like, maybe in Cult they mentioned that like Thanksgiving is happening since one of them like runs a butcher shop, creamery, coffee shop, etc.
I feel like they do mention Thanksgiving because the very first like day scene we see of Cult is election day, November 6th. So I feel like there is like a very short interim Thanksgiving sequence. I vaguely remember like Oz having like a turkey hand drawing thing or something. But I could just be making up stuff because everything that happens in this show is insane. So
yeah, it all kind of runs together, right? It's so weird. Like these things happen. Like we mentioned that. I can't believe I like totally forgot this episode, but somehow I did. And you were it's there.
From front to back, I forgot every single thing that happens in this episode. There's literally one scene that I remembered, and it's the one with Stanley later in the ? Flashback.
Yeah. That makes sense that you'd remember that one. That scene's pretty fucking wild.
It really is.
We'll see if we get there today. Now we have to. Now it's time for the titular Tupperware massacre. This is also shot like a flashback for some reason, though it's not, which is why I'm confused.
It's
later
now.
Yeah. It has this, like a filter over it that would make you think it's a flashback, but it's so not.
American Horror Story has, and they've done this a couple times, once again conflated the old-timey 1950s vintage filter with their flashback filter. And they use the same one for both, so it's really goddamn confusing sometimes when they have a thing that's happening now, but it's like, well, this could have been like a couple weeks ago. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's never like, and they never give us like a, well, sometimes they give us too many, but this season they don't give us enough. Like a title card to say like here's where we are and what time it is. They gave up on that in this season and just didn't do it like at all, except for the very first episode I think has some title cards in it. But we're at that lady's house who was doing the finger blast party last time,
right.
I guess this is just a thing that she hosts at her home. And like the way we are introduced to this scene is a bunch of housewives, and by a bunch, I mean five, I counted, are, like, interrogating one of them, like, and these women are, like, in their 30s, by the way, interrogating one of them specifically about what is clearly trying to, like, suss out what it's like to suck a dick, which I think, I don't know, I didn't go to public school, but that feels like the kind of thing that, like, you talk about when you're teenagers. Not when you're 35 years old with a bunch of other 35-year-olds.
Unless like you're a bunch of like monks.
Nuns.
Or something.
I have nuns for notes.
And like, or like you're the first person who ever sucked a dick, and you're like, you're not gonna believe this, King.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, what was it like? What was it like? And she's like, well, it tasted like skin. And I'm like, whoa, this is so cool, American Horror Story. I'm sure glad you wrote this into the episode.
Thanks for the heads up. Wow, thanks for letting me know, Jennifer Fellatio.
Yeah. And I'm like,
you just came up with this. What's it called?
Whoa, we just invented sucking dick on American Horror Story. That's crazy. I'm like, what are we even supposed to like glean from this? Is like, oh, they're like naive? Like they're getting finger blasted by the lobster boy in the back room right now. They're already fucking nasty. I don't know what you think these women are or aren't doing. Also, people have been fucking nasty for like thousands and thousands of years. Like, unless these people are nuns, these women know how to get down. Like, get down, get down. I guarantee. But no, this one just sucked dick for the first time, and it demonstrates on a carrot.
I think this is like the usual sort of like American Horror Story, like I forgot what we wrote kind of thing, where you know what I mean? It's like the Avon ladies from the 50s. Of course, they're like, you know, guarded or, you know what I mean, like withheld or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but they're doing the finger blast party thing. Like, oh yeah, right. Well, we already filmed it. You know what I mean? Like, so what do you
I think of? Maybe even at this point in time in history, I don't know. It was 1952, I guess, in the show. They might have already been doing like true romance parties and stuff. I don't know. Maybe that came later. But like, this could have been a true romance party instead of a Tupperware party, and it would have made as much, if not more, sense. Instead of everybody just showing up and getting finger blasted while they talk about Tupperware.
I mean, I think that I don't know much about, like, you know, mid-20th century Americana, but, like, I feel like it's a real safe bet to be like, they knew what oral sex was, you know? I get yeah. the, you know, even, like, the old farm life, you know what I mean? Like, early 20th century.
We were sucking dick in the 1950s, Slow Beef. You're right. We must have definitely been sucking dick since before the 1950s. I will back you up on that 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I keep saying to people over and over, like, not new. Why are we pretending?
I'm pretty sure, like, as soon as they first, like, filmed, like, you know, the first one is, like, a rotoscope of, like, a horse running? The second one was, like, a blowjob. Like, that was, like, number two thing we wanted filmed evidence of.
One of the characters in this season of the television show gives, like, a lengthy backstory about how she was a dominatrix at, like, an insane sex brothel where they were doing wild shit.
Sit down on the rusty toilet nails, asshole. What do you mean, sucking a dick? That's crazy.
Yeah, I'd rather die. No, thank you.
Like, with your mouth? Like, it's a vagina? I don't know. Like,
Not Ethel. Elsa gives someone a blowjob in, like, episode 2, or it's implied that she does, to, like, get them extended time at the fairground they're renting or whatever. Yeah. And maybe they think this is different, but we also see the guy who pretends to be Thor getting ready to suck Stanley's dick. So I'm just saying, for a show that has a lot of sucking dick in this season, it's really weird to have these five women not know what a blowjob is. I'm getting off my soapbox about the blowjobs now. Anyway, Jimmy is also here because it is a Jimmy Finger Bangs People party, which is confusing. Because I assumed, we never get any clarification, but I assumed that, like, the scouting for this type of event was done, like, at the freak show. But, like, they haven't been doing that. The freak show, I mean, for, like, a while. Elsa was like, pack it up, we're going to Hollywood. That's been, like, a month. So they haven't been, like, doing the freak show. So I don't know if, like, Jimmy just pre-scheduled, like, a bunch of these parties before they went out of the freak show business or what. He's doing a really bad job this time, though. Like, a really bad job. Like, the lady, the fifth lady, because there's, like, four of them, and then a fifth one stumbles out. She's like, oh, that was really bad. He missed, like, a lot. So I just gave him money and then left.
He missed, like, a lot.
She says something to that effect. She's like, yeah, he kept missing. This is where you may be thinking, that's pretty crazy.
Full swinging?
Yeah. Yeah. You may think that's pretty crazy. It's not half as crazy. Like, we're at, like, the green light phase. Like, them not knowing what a blowjob was, like, the green light phase of this three-phase Tupperware party. We're about to hit the yellow light phase, which is very crazy. And then we're going to hit the red light phase. A little later, there will be a delay. There will be a scene, and then we will hit the red light phase. But right
there's
now,
there's an intermission. Yeah, where you get to, like, gather your mental acuity for.
Dandy knew we wouldn't be able to handle it after what's about to happen, so he's nice enough to wait. So this is where Jimmy stumbles out of the bedroom, and he's like, "Oh, I'm really bad at fingering. Oh, I'm so hungry. Can I have, like, that charcuterie board or whatever?" And then he starts eating it. And he drank the alcohol that makes you see ghosts, regrettably. He won't be the only one this episode to do that, but he is right now. Mm. And he hallucinates one of the ladies as being Ethel. You know how alcohol will make you visualize your dead mom. You know, that's what it does.
That's a very famous thing. That's the Surgeon General's warning, actually.
Notoriously. And then the
that's why you can't drive afterwards. It'll freak you out real bad.
You'll start seeing other ghosts on the road, like the Sixth Sense. It's not good.
Oh, my God.
It's not good.
I mean, thank God it happened now and not during the finger banging session, you know, that went bad. Because that's going to be like, oh, God, my Jimmy, you're drunk again. Like, no.
Oh, can you imagine?
I didn't mind it that much when it was my stepmom, but like my mom, now it's a real problem.
Oh, there, you know at least one person in that writer's room pitched that as being
went. Come on, yeah.
Oh, you know they, because why else would he visualize his mom here? It doesn't serve any purpose. It really doesn't. So, like, you know they soft pitched that. Like, yeah, what if the lady is trying to finger bang? What if he hallucinates his mom? Like, anyway. He hallucinates Ethel, and the Ethel ghost, who is someone he's hallucinating, starts telling him information that he himself would not know about, like, his own birth, and how she gave birth to him. I mean, maybe at some point she told him about it, but, like, she did say to Edward Mordrake, the exposition ghost, that it was, like, her deepest, darkest shame of all time, and her, like, most, like, cherished secret. So I don't think she did tell Jimmy
that. Yeah, I don't think so either.
So this ghost, this is why I say it's a ghost and not a hallucination, because she provides him information that he wouldn't know. And if he was hallucinating her, then he wouldn't be able to glean that information. So this is simply a ghost. Also, confusingly, the other women at the party start conversing with Ethel's ghost, and
that's what really throws it for a loop, yeah.
And it's not like fucking they're show. Like it's not like they're saying things that like are like he's imagining these women are berating him or something. They're asking him the most insane off or asking her. They're talking to Ethel, asking the most insane off the wall questions like, what do you put in your Tupperware? Like stuff that has nothing to do with the speech that Ethel's ghost is giving Jimmy. And like Jimmy doesn't like say or do anything. And then I guess just stare at him. I suppose they just stare at him. It's unclear whether or not the women are actually talking or not. This is a bizarre scene. Bizarre scene. And then he like snaps out of the hallucination after he realizes he's rubbing his face in a random woman's titties. And they're like, you gotta go. You gotta go. This sucks.
He's like, you know what? Fair, honestly.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, you got me on this one. Yeah, this is a freebie, ladies.
Yeah. My good thing I got paid up front. Anyway, I'm out of here. Then, the hostess, the one who just got like finger banged real bad, is like, you need to leave, and like escorts him to the door. The door is in the same room. I cannot overstate this. There is eye shot to the door. It's not like she had to walk across a mansion. It's just in the same room, and she just guides him out of it. Maybe 4 seconds later, because she's now just turning and walking back to the other women who are having the discussion, someone knocks on the door. And I do mean, like, 4 seconds elapses. Like, remember, Jimmy is so drunk he is hallucinating his ghost mom. Right. I don't think that, like, unless he started sprinting away, which would be weird,
Or if he, like, fell over and passed out in a bush immediately, which I wish they would have shown us if that was the case.
Yeah.
Because the only other option is that he did take off in a dead sprint. And even then, that would not explain why he did not see Dandy outside already. Because Dandy is at the front door, knocking on the front door, where Jimmy just was 4 seconds ago. And his car is outside. So it's not like he's been, like, waiting, like, with nothing around. Like, he's been, like, he's had the car parked outside and is waiting to do this bit. I guess he just knew that Jimmy would hallucinate his mom or something.
Maybe an attempt to, like, frame Jimmy because Jimmy made the accusation, so he follows Jimmy at some point. Except that seems really contrived and weird, because especially because he does it like comes in right afterwards. So
I mean, I think that's the implication, though it doesn't make
that
any
is the
sense.
Implication. Yeah. Because where would Dandy get this information? How would he know it? How would he follow up on it? How would the police? Because like the thing is, the way that Dandy ends up like playing this against Jimmy has nothing to do with the validity of the crime or where the crime took place, and has everything to do with Dandy just has a lot of money. It's really like they're trying to write him as though he is super genius, puppet master or whatever. But that really breaks down when every time push comes to shove, his answer is, do you want $1 million to pretend I didn't do a crime?
Also, like you just said, how would he know that Jimmy did the finger blast parties? Like, why would he? How would he have cooked up this plan? What was he cooking? How did he know to cook it? Where did he get this recipe? But he is there. I guess don't worry about it, because we're not going to get an answer. I regret to inform you. We will never get an answer. He's there. Jimmy has evaporated or instant transmissioned to another place somehow.
Become a bush.
Yeah. And he's like, Dandy's doing the thing where he's like pretending to be a nice boy. And he's like, my car broke down. Would you please let me in to use your phone? And they're like, yeah, weird affluent guy on our front porch. That seems fine. We did just have to escort another guy with lobster fingers out of here. But don't worry about that. We're you can come in. It's fine. Now we have to take a brief reprieve from this scene. To start another subplot that is so wildly confusing and will have no payoff. I'm going to spoil it right now. This is not going to have a payoff. At all. It won't have one. Just, it will not have one. But they did rent a drone so they could get this overhead shot of Stanley and Elsa driving into the swamp, to a sketchy murder shed. And I mean, like, into the swamp. Like, it's very remote. Remember, this is, like, I don't know, an hour or so. Well, probably we'll give them a little more time than that. Like, 4 hours after they've done the fake Ethel suicide bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did they find a murder shed in the swamp? And how did they get all of the things that are going to be in it, in this amount of time? Again, there will not be an answer. In fact...
Well, Stanley's a big Hollywood producer, so, you know, he really knows how to call in a favor on this. Wait, he was just pretending to be. That's so crazy. Well, he does a really good job pretending here, because he does, like, a full production.
Yeah, like...
He does, yeah.
You're going to hear us say many times over the next couple of episode chunks of why is Stanley doing this? And I think we might have just like accidentally like maybe stumbled across the actual answer, which is I think more than likely they realized after having him pretend to be a Hollywood guy for like 2 episodes and then like having him like kind of tell Elsa that he'll do like he'll just kill the twins or whatever, like they realize they're like, oh, it would be cool if we had like a kind of sleazy Hollywood executive type character, like a like a scumbag agent character that could like pull a bunch of strings to help out the freak show. That would be a really cool character to have. And then they forgot that Stanley isn't that and that he's just pretending to be that, but he still gets to do the things that that kind of character would get to do anyway. And I think that's probably as close to an answer as to why is Stanley doing this as we're going to get.
I feel like with half of the things with American Horror Story, it's like, why is that happening? You just go, you know, why the fuck not? Like, why wouldn't it happen?
Yeah.
Okay? Just, like, go with it, right? You know what you're here for.
Yeah. So they have a murder shed. Elsa's also wearing the wrong costume in this scene.
Yeah, she just swaps clothes, even though there's never been a moment where they would have unless she changed in the car.
Which would have been really weird. A really weird choice.
Yeah.
They had to shoot on location in the murder shed, I guess, and they forgot to make sure that there was continuity between the hotel scene and this scene. They bring the twins here, and Bette, who is the one who is going to die when they do the surgery, in case it's not obvious, is just like, oh, cool, how long do we have to live in the murder shed? And Stanley says, until the doctor arrives, and there's a surgery table in the middle of the shed.
You might be wondering, what doctor? Aren't they just going to kill the twins? Can't they just shoot them in the head with a bullet? Well,
heads.
The writers also thought of that, and they have a flashback of something that didn't happen.
Well, I think it did happen. It just doesn't matter that it happened.
No, I refuse. I'm getting gaslit by American Horror Story on this one, because they have a flashback between Elsa and Stanley of Elsa being like, hey, don't actually kill the twins, okay? And Stanley's like, what?
Yeah.
There's like no justification for it either. It's just like, no, wait. I've realized now we've made a point where we have the twins alone, isolated in a murder shed in a swamp in the middle of Florida. There is no justification for us to not just kill them. So like, we gotta come up with something, because this is like, if you're not doing it now, you're just never gonna kill them, right? Like,
right, yeah.
But we have to kill them in the most elaborate, weird way. Otherwise, they'll think that we're gonna murder them, and I can't have them thinking that. I want their murder to be a surprise to them for some reason, and so I'm going to start this weird sub-bit inside of a bit I'm already doing of being a Hollywood executive, of also funding a surgery with a fake doctor for the twins that I'm just going to try and kill anyway. We're doing that, I guess. And again, there's a full, like, really, really dog shit surgery theater set up in the murder tent or the murder shed.
Do you know how expensive it is to like shoot on a location and like drive people out to place and like hire an actor and get the actor to come out? And do you know how cheap a bullet is comparatively? Yeah. Cause Stanley's been shown to have a gun. We know he's got a gun. So like, he doesn't even need to buy a gun, just a bullet.
Well, at least two, unless he's a really good shot and can manage to shoot both of them at the same time.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest, I'm pretty sure if one goes down, they both go down. That's like kind of a core conceit.
You could go for the chest too, you know what I mean? Like, you don't gotta Annie Oakley here.
Yeah. Find the part where the spines connect, and that's the weak
gun
part.
Is only for shooting penises. He told us this.
Oh, right. I forgot that's a special shot. It's a magically enchanted gun that only points at dicks.
If you try to shoot any other body part that isn't a penis, it shoots you in the penis. That's its like cursed
object.
Yeah,
it'll flip around and get your cock. Yeah, 100%.
It's like that Metal Gear thing where the gun doesn't fire unless you're the owner of it,
like the Muramasa, where it's like every time it's drawn, it needs to taste blood. It'll make it yours if it has to.
This is a cursed object that I think maybe he should just give to the museum that he keeps trying to sell people to.
Yeah. Hey, you've heard about these twins. Check out my fucked up gun.
Check out my cursed gun that only shoots dicks.
They have this whole theater set up, an operation theater set up. The twins are like a little bit hesitant, reasonably so, but not like as hesitant as they probably should be. And Stanley just says like, oh yeah, I hired a guy, it's fine, they won't die. Which becomes even more confusing when you find out who he hired to do this pretending to be a surgeon. But like, also he's lying to Elsa for some reason here. He's like, oh yeah, I'm hiring a real surgeon that definitely won't kill them. And he's going to kill them. And it's like really strange that he's like, I think we need another level of obfuscation here.
Yeah.
We really need it.
It's so weird because Elsa was like already on board with killing the twins. And then they like walked that back. They're like, well, actually, she's not, even though they have like blackmail on her or whatever. Like, She's decided she doesn't want to, actually. And it's like, well, why did you ever have her? What it should have been was she should have, well, I think this is what happened. But like, she should have come to Stanley and been like, hey, the twins want this surgery in order to not release this blackmail on me. Can you help me with the surgery part of it? And he's like, well, why don't we just kill them? Their life probably sucks. And I think that's what he says, like, verbatim.
Yeah.
And then Elsa's like, oh, okay. Because that's what triggers Ethel to be like, oh, well, now I gotta put down Elsa because she's gonna kill the twins or whatever. Yeah.
There's only one solution I see, and it's killing everyone and then myself.
Like, yeah.
What are you talking about, Ethel? That's so what?
You know what's like extra, like, I'm sorry, I'm just like, I'm having retroactive like grief, I guess, which is why did we have the whole subplot of Ethel like going to that doctor and like finding out she has like a failing liver, all that,
and then Del has to break the surgeon's perfect hands so that when they go back for the surgery, the surgeon's daughter can come in and be like, he had perfect hands and now he killed himself and it's your fault.
Remember that? Remember the surgeon who inexplicably killed himself? We don't even know why he did. Del didn't kill him. He just like broke his fingers and that guy was like, I'm out of here.
He lost his perfect hands, Liz.
I'm out of here. He's
what's
like, I'm
there
out.
To live for?
Yeah.
No point. I don't even want to be here.
Yeah, me, an established surgeon who has probably like 70 years of practice under my belt. Fuck this. I'm out of here. This sucks.
Teaching? Pff, sounds dumb. I'm out.
And then the daughter who was very certain it was, even though he didn't leave a note or anything, just was very certain it was because freaks existed.
I can't believe my father saw three boobs, a big clit, and went crazy.
I mean, who amongst us? Who amongst us hasn't seen three boobs and a big clit and gone crazy? The madness is the madness they talk about in the Bible. So
this is your pre-med final exam, usually.
Yeah, most people can't stomach it, and that's why we don't have very many doctors.
Gonna show you something. There's two boobs. What else could you be uncovering? Oh my god, I can't be a doctor. It's how we.
Oh, one boob. Not bad. Not bad. I'm into this. Two boobs. Hey, hey, this is great. Three. No. Wait.
Just throws
it's like
up immediately.
At Cthulhu. I can't.
Oh my god. Yeah, basically. So yeah, Stanley has decided that now
sorry,
we have to...
the final page of In the Mouth of Madness is, and it was three tits. Whoa, the end.
The color out of space, a big clit.
No. Get Nicolas Cage. Get Nicolas Cage on the phone. We gotta tell him about the new movie. We gotta get this script in front of him.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So, so there's a we're trying to do a murder or whatever. And Bette takes a second and is like, hey, it is going to kill one of us, right? Like, there's no actual way to separate us because we only have one body and two heads. So, like, we're not going to, like, grow another body back like a worm or whatever. Yeah. And everyone's like, And it just kind of cuts away. Like, they don't really resolve it here.
Yeah.
Good point. What's over here?
And remember, Bette is supposed to be like the stupid one. Bette's supposed to be like the ditzy airheaded one. And she's like, hey, I'm pretty sure this is gonna kill one of us. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up, Bette. Like, you are so stupid. You're so dumb. And I'm like, okay, all right. We're to the point. It's not American Horror Story unless we're gaslighting a woman. That we cannot have a season of American Horror Story unless we're gaslighting at least one woman.
Like a tradition at this point.
Yeah. And Bette's the one. It's like kind of bonus woman this time because she's like two ladies. So like
Yeah.
Kind of. And one of them is the one, it's a lady gaslighting another lady that's part of the same lady. So, like, this is really kind of breaking through thresholds that I don't think anyone else has done.
It's either, like, the most or the least gaslighting of all time, and I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
It's either the most or the least. It can't be both, though.
But...
So, back from Tupper Warehouse, baby.
Oh, yeah,
We're back. So last we were here, Dandy came in, said, "Hello, ladies, may I use your phones?" And then we cut back, and it's the husband coming back to the house and walking in and being like, "Hello, honey, I'm home. No one's here. What's going on?" And then he walks to what I believe is like a fully enclosed like pool and solarium.
Incredibly Florida. Incredibly Florida coded. They're in Jupiter, Florida, and this is so Florida coded.
Yeah, 100%. And walks back into it, and it's like all the ladies are in the pool, and there's like a lot of blood everywhere, but like, you know, too much blood because...
The pool.
It would take like 50 people's worth of blood to fill up one bathtub. You know, like we can't do this again. But it's like you need like a lot of people to fill a bathtub with blood. And yeah, there's like no blood or like sign of conflict anywhere else. So like, how did Dandy maneuver this from, "Can I use your phone," to, "Hey, could you one at a time come back to this swimming pool with me and don't bring any weapons?"
Like, yeah, like, was totally... it, do you think he did it in like the same way that like our good friend Jimmy was doing the finger blasting, where he's like, "All right, I'm gonna go out into this room and then you need to come in one at a time. Don't skip your turn. Don't skip ahead in the line. You might hear some screaming. Don't worry about that. And then I'll wave you in when it's your turn." And then just one at a time, like, have them single file come in one at a time to be, like, murdered and then put in the pool. Because, like, first of all, there were 5 of them. Again, I counted. Somehow, there are 9 dead women in the pool, which means that Dandy has brought bonus women. He, like, did so good that it started spawning bonus women.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. There's more women in the pool. That's amazing.
There are. Oh, yeah, you're right.
There are 9 women in the pool, and only 5 of them were at the party. I have, like,
he really is like the U.S. Steel of murder. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did it. I mean, he achieved his weirdo dream. I have to give it.
This is like...
Yeah, killed 5 ladies, made 9 corpses. That's like, that's huge. A great return.
Seriously.
Yeah. The ROI on that is incredible. Insane. Stuff. Yeah, and like, none of the women fought back, and he was just able to just like, one at a time. And it cannot be like overstated. And we know how they died because there's a shot at the end where we like see them floating under the water and they all have their throat cut. It's not like he like pulled out a gun and just started shooting them, which would be like the only way that this makes sense is if like, and even then, like the idea is that they're trapped in the pool room. I'm sorry. First of all, you try to get me to believe these women don't know what a blowjob is. And then secondly, you're going to tell me 9 women did not just jump his ass and start beating him up. Like, there's 9 of you. There was 5, but 4 grew by mitosis, and now there's 9 of you.
Or like one of you gets your throat slashed and 8 of you run away and pick different directions. Like, you know, like, shit. Like, theoretically, if there's 3 of you, there should be a survivor. Like, you know?
And not bonus people, not bonus dead people, not the opposite of a survivor.
Yeah, we gave you extra credits for this and you still fucked it up.
As someone
Dandy hasn't been particularly good at this, right? Like,
no.
Did I miss some? Like, he's terrible.
No, he talks a lot of shit, but his execution has been generically like whack. Like every time he's been like, "Oh no, what the heck?" When he kills somebody, like, it's not been like, you know, like a cold, fast, like, this man's not Assassin's Creed or something. He just like slashes someone and then is like somehow naked immediately. Like, that's his superpower. He's like, "Oh, I'm nude. What the?"
I can't remember. What was I into this week?
Yeah, like I'm like doing like a Rolodex of all of the kills or attempted kills Dandy has done throughout the show. It starts with, I mean, like allegedly he maybe killed a kid when he was a kid, but we don't see that, and that's mentioned later. But like we see him try to do a fucked up magic show and kill Maggie. He does not succeed. This is after he already menaced Dora and did the fake Michael Myers opening of Halloween sequence, and bitched out about it and was not successful. And then after Twisty dies to a ghost, he then gets the balls to actually kill Dora in like a heated moment of passion where she was kind of shitting on him. So he got that kill. And then the next time he tried to kill someone, or kill someone, period, was when he killed Del's boyfriend. And he did so bad at killing that guy that he was still alive even after he took off, like, both of his legs. he had to, like, re-stab that guy, like, 800 times. And he still was alive. To the point where Dandy was like, all right, well, now I feel bad because you're not dying. I've stabbed you 800 times and you're still alive. This sucks. And then he, I mean, I guess he just kind of shot his mom in the head. That's not like
anything, kinda,
really.
Right.
Anyone could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, big whoop. Yeah, yeah, big whoop. We're getting not impressed.
And then, maybe his makeup was like, oh, if I sew like the person's head onto her, maybe that's kind of like I did something. It's like, nah, Dandy, you missed the moment. Sorry, bro.
Oh, yeah. Then there was the Avon lady. And right. That, we don't really know how she died. She just was, like, alive 1 second and then not alive the next second. So, like, do with that information what you will. And so that's all the kills that Dandy's actually done. And now he's John
Wick.
But
now he's a death elemental.
Yeah.
He just, yeah, walks into a room and everyone is dead when he leaves the room. And it doesn't really matter how, I guess. And, yeah, so... Then I think then it cuts back to Dandy back in the Mott Mansion, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is okay. Where we see him.
With his little Tupperwares, yeah.
Yeah, yep. He took the little Tupperwares and they're full of
the
blood.
The little Tupperwares,
and he's like
cannot overstate. The little, because he left the big ones. He left the big Tupperwares at the party because the husband comes in and is like, honey, I hate when you have Tupperware parties, you and your bothersome friends in the 1950s. I'm a stereotypical 1950s husband. Oh, look at all this Tupperware that's still on the table. What did I tell you about that? Oh, no, everybody's dead in my pool. Yeah.
I told you what would happen if you kept finger blasting those godful freaks to get killed. Look at you.
What a confusing scene for the husband to like come back and it just smells like coochie and everyone's dead and there's Tupperware out. Like, what a confusing scene to come home to.
Yeah. And especially if like the pool had just recently been shocked, it's going to smell crazy.
Oh, man. Right?
The pH balance, insane. Insane.
What am I going to do here? You really screwed. You fucked me again on this one, Ethel.
And I know probably maybe like one or two of you listening was like, oh, they forgot to mention probably that like there was probably a scene of like when Dandy did all the like the killing and like put them in the pool. Because like, why would he move them from the house to the pool? Clearly, he's playing up his like deal with the blood bath and he wants to like swim in the pool full of blood. Wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wrong.
That's what you would assume is like he put the corpses in the pool because he has this whole like I need to roll around in people's blood to take their power. What was the power of these ladies? Not knowing what a blowjob is and getting finger banged, I guess.
Now
but
he
wanted that for him.
Now he knows what a blowjob is. That's how you learn. That's the modern American sex education.
He's gonna need to kill Del and roll around in that blood. Yeah.
So in case you were thinking like we forgot to mention like, oh, that's why he moved him to the pool so that he could do like a big like pool thing where he's like in the pool with all the blood. Wrong. Incorrect. Instead, he methodically fills up like 12 teeny tiny Tupperwares. And I do mean like teeny tiny Tupperwares full of like half a cup of blood each. Very potent blood because he dumps one of them in this bathtub and it like. Real thick and real potent, real opaque.
These ladies were like They were smoking the cigarettes that make you have extra platelets, I think, because it is, yeah, it is rich in that.
Vampires would love those ladies. You don't need much.
Oh, they'd go crazy. Yeah, these ladies would be on, like, such a premium.
All you need is, like, one teaspoon, and that's, it's like the Limbus bread of blood, basically. and he dumps it into the pool, or I'm sorry, he didn't have to dump it in the pool. All of the women were in the pool. He dumps it into the tub, which made me realize that he has a tub in his playroom, question mark?
Yeah.
Which means either someone had to bring it in there, or he brought it in there, which, like, tubs require, like, a certain level of plumbing to fill up and drain, usually.
Even like those old clawfoot tubs that are just like there's a plug on the bottom. It's because it's over somewhere that drains generally. Yeah.
This right. is just in the middle of a room that doesn't have that. So interesting decision. And they're not going to explain how it got in there either. I guess we're just supposed to assume, oh, well, Dandy paid someone to do it. Okay. Weird thing for us
so to They very explicitly, too, show Dandy pouring some of this blood into a tub that's already partially full of water, which does feel like they got annoyed at people being like, bro, a human being does not have a full bathtub of blood in them. A human being can fit in the tub. Like, that. There, it just doesn't work. The math doesn't shake out, brother. And they were like, well, fine, he dilutes it, and he loves that he dilutes it, and it's his favorite thing to have a large body of water diluted with blood diluted into it, and then they, like, forgot about the pool.
Yeah.
They were like, ah, shit.
Again, this feels like what we said at the beginning of the episode, where it feels like this was pitched as a different scene with, like, him swimming in the pool, like, whimsically. Like, I feel like there's a cut scene of, like, him swimming. It could have been, like, a 2-second scene.
It would be so
scene.
Good, too.
Yeah.
Like, swimming around with the corpses and shit, yeah, that would be beautiful, but no,
because there's no reason, like, there's no reason to have him have killed them in the pool and, like, leave this weird plot hole of, like, well, how did he manage to do that, like, without that scene. It's the setup to that scene, and then they just didn't give us that scene. They're gonna give us a fucking wild scene later with Stanley and his dick. And instead, they cut out a scene that actually makes some amount of sense in the thing that this episode is kind of named after. Sort of named after. Oh, I hate it. Yeah, he dumped a half a cup of blood into the tub, and it made it all blood. It was the super blood that makes everything blood when you dump it in there. That lady had, like, super blood. And Regina, oh, by the way, at this point, we do have to see Dandy's butt cheeks again. Regina has to see all of it. So I guess we could count our blessings that we're just seeing the butt cheeks. Regina, Dora's daughter, storms in and is like, what the fuck are you doing with all of those Tupperwares and a tub in the middle of this room?
Also, you're naked.
Yeah. Also, you're naked. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if I saw someone naked next to a tub, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, kind of. I don't understand why the tub's in here.
Oh,
but...
yeah, good point, good point. Yeah, you could probably put two and two together. Yeah, that's fair.
There's, like, a little bit of context. I would be more confused why there was a tub in the bedroom than the being naked next to the tub.
I get why you're naked, because there's a tub here. Like, I get why, you know, A equals B, but why is A here in the first place?
Yeah. And she's like, oh, by the way, I turbo called the cops to help them look for my mom. But, like, she says it in a way that implies that, like, she didn't mention Dandy in that phone call. And then, cause then he's like, oh my God, we get this fucking reveal. Sorry. They do two of these in this scene where she's like, the police are going to help me find my mother. And then he goes, I killed your mother, and it plays the loudest, funniest musical sting I've ever heard in this television show. It is so loud. Like, the only thing I can, like, compare it to is if, I don't know if either of you have seen the movie Sinister.
I have.
But the lawnmower scene specifically has an insanely loud sting, and it is effective because it is a shocking thing that happens, and like you're not expecting it, and it's very effective because of that. This is like if you were checking out at a cash register and the person asked you if you wanted to pay with a check or by cash, and you said credit card, and then that level of musical sting plays at like 30 times the volume the rest of the episode is playing. it is insane. And then Dandy starts again, his butt cheeks are out. Just remember that through this sequence. He just starts info dumping about his newest hyperfixation, which is blood baths. Just like fully info dumping about it. Just walking around, butt cheeks fully out, just Wang just out there, just kind of flopping, just facing Regina, who didn't ask for any of this. Well, he's just talking about bloodbath. He's like, I love bloodbaths. This is what bloodbaths are. I killed my mom too. Is that cool or what? This is so cool. Do you want to talk to me about bloodbaths? And then he like walks up to her and like gets like kind of close to her, and she kind of shrinks away because she doesn't want to die. Where would he be hiding a weapon? His butt cheeks are out. And he goes, don't be stupid. I am not going to kill you. I have no desire to kill you. I was going to have my mom kill you one episode ago, but you don't know that. And also, I'm hoping the audience also forgot. But I don't want to kill you. I want you very much so alive. Also, get naked and take a bath with me. Why? I don't know. That's the kind of guy I am now. I'm a puppet guy, and I'm a guy who likes making other people take baths with me. That's my whole deal. That's all I do. I spent some time in Utah as a child, and this is what happened. And then she's like, well, I don't want to get in the bath with you. That's fucked up and weird, and I don't want to do that. And another musical sting plays. And then he says, and I quote, I thought you were my special family.
What?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
When were we doing that, Dandy?
Is this one of Dandy's things? Since when? How many things is this guy gonna have?
You gotta pick one, Dandy. That's how this, you know, you can't keep jumping around.
I've decided I have a family thing now, Regina. I'm no longer interested in acting. I'm no longer an actling man. I'm a family man.
I just played Bioshock, and now I understand that I wanted a family.
Yeah, he says it with such conviction, like we're supposed to be like, oh yeah, he's always talking about how Regina is his special family and like how close they are.
He won't shut up about Regina and his family. This whole season is a thing I have said many times.
He just drops that out of nowhere, which is mind-boggling, truly boggles the mind. And he like gives like a little weird mini speech about I thought you were my special family, and then he like he's leaning over her, like he's got his hands on the wall behind her again, fully nude, just like the worst. You know how they always say like you don't want to fight someone who's naked, like you don't want to really have a conversation. There's no weirder way to have a conversation with someone than when they're walking around naked and you're not. Like,
Liz,
that's a weird dynamic.
Tell you, this is the first time I've ever heard the expression, you don't want to fight someone while you're naked, but it is absolutely right. It tracks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no one wants to fight the naked guy.
Yeah, because, yeah, like, it adds
if
a
it
dynamic.
If it ends up in a grapple, it's just fucking weird immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It just adds a dynamic, like a power dynamic that's like really unfair to the person who's not naked. Because then the only way to like balance it is to like also get naked, but that's what he wanted. So like she can't do that because like obviously then he'd be like, oh, wait, you are on board.
So you have to tackle him, take off your clothes real quick and then put on him. And then you're the one who's naked and he's not naked anymore. Yeah.
That's
always
the meta.
Thinking Thai Tuesday.
Yeah, one step ahead.
You know, it's a hard fight.
You just got to get in there and like tie a little cardigan around his waist real quick so his butt cheeks aren't out. Yeah, and he's like leaning over her fully naked. And then he like slams both of his hands really hard against the wall. And then he's like, get out of my sight and leave. And it's like, well, okay, well, now he's a new guy. He's a new guy now. Why would you have her leave? You know she's going to call the police. Like, I know it's because the show wants us to think you're some kind of mastermind, but at the end of it, like Ty said, the answer is just going to be, I'm just going to pay the police a lot of money, and they're going to not arrest me for my crimes. But, like, you could just avoid that altogether and just not let her leave. Instead, that's because, spoiler, yeah, it's going to end with her dead either way.
Yeah, and, like, this is all, like, some very elaborate contrivance to have the police called on Dandy so that Dandy can, like, talk to the police, I guess. But, like, Dandy could have just called in and reported it himself, you know?
And he probably would have. Like, with the way that they've been building him up as a character, like, where he's so brazen and he's so, like, doesn't care and he thinks he's untouchable. Like, he absolutely would have called the police and been like, yeah, come check this shit out that I did. And then, like, showed them the weird puppet that he made out of his mom and the Avon lady, whose name he doesn't know. Like, yeah, that's what they set him up to be. But instead, he's going to do this insane, what they think is, like, a Hannibal Lecter-ass play of letting her leave and get the police involved again. What do you think she told the police? Like, hey, I just told you.
Also.
Yeah.
Oh, just spoilers. When she comes back after talking to the police, if you report somebody for being like a murderer or doing some kind of horrific violent act, especially if, you know, they threatened you directly and like slammed you against a wall in a way that like wasn't sexy and it was like just threatening, you wouldn't come back, right? Like, you wouldn't be there when the cops came back. You'd be like, hey, you should go check this out, and they'd be like, okay. They would like not ask you to come with, like, you're not fucking Scrappy Dude. They don't need your ass there. Like, they can just do it.
So if you just show us what you mean exactly by a killer, you know, is it okay?
Yeah, and also...
Yeah, he's the only guy in there. Here's his name, his age, and what he looked like as a little kid, and the number of cats he killed. Yeah, go have fun, boys.
Hey, hey, you want to see us catch this guy? Like, well, all right.
All right.
You know, I'll ride along.
Yeah, what the heck, right?
Yeah, American Horror Story loves to, like, they love to emphasize that, like, the people who had the crime done to them love to be there when the person who did the crime get arrested. They can't be arrested otherwise, obviously. Like, you can't arrest somebody if the victim of the crime isn't there. Like, that's just how it works.
Right. Duh.
Yeah. I know a thing or two about the American judicial system. Also, she just came in this room. Why did they have her come in the room to be like, I already talked to the police? Because that doesn't mean anything now. Like, she's just going to go back to the police now, like 13 seconds later. So, like, why did they already have her talk to the police just to have her leave and go talk to the police again? Because now what they've created is this weird, awkward situation where she has to now go back to the police station and be like, hey, I know I just left here and asked you to help me find the person who made my mom disappear, but I figured it out in roughly 15 minutes since I last saw you. Do you want to come back with me to go, like, take care of that or whatever? She's like, I don't need you, actually. I figured it out. Turns out it's right where I left it. Silly me. Egg on my face. And yeah, so that's we are not even close to being done with the episode. There's still so much that has to happen. The Tupperware massacre happened. Well, I guess that's good. We got past that, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's that we made that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and like, there's a lot of runtime left in the episode overall, but kind of the future spoilers. There's a lot of them deciding to not do things. We're about to have that turning point where a bunch of the stuff they set up, they're just kind of going to be like, no. And then they're going to have about some of the worst resolutions imaginable for Dandy's new plot line. It's rough, man. It's rough. There's a bunch of people who just a bunch of really badly written lines, a bunch of
strange character introduction. Can you believe we're going to get a new character? Can you believe that shit? I mean, it's a guy we already saw, but he's doing more.
And we got introduced to another guy in our last episode that was at the beginning of this episode, and that guy's not even in the rest of the episode. He's just introduced, given a first, middle, and last name, and then we never see him again. And he's played by Malcolm Jamal Warner, which is like a pretty big Hollywood name. And then we don't see him again for the rest of the episode.
Oh, do you mean Angus T. Jefferson, yes. Who was like a short blessing for the time? It's like honestly a little bit weird that they like didn't play like a Sting when he was like, I'm Angus T. Jefferson, and just like, Angus. Like, it's like he's just so out of line with every other character in the show.
He was just a guy hanging out behind the trailers that like Desiree like talked to for 3 seconds.
Like fully suited up and like ready to be like lover boy energy. It was like such a straight, like by the cows, which why does the freak show have cows? It's a whole thing.
Yeah. They have a Ferris wheel now. They finally figured out that they needed to put a Ferris wheel in, since they kept referring to the Ferris wheel they didn't have.
They had it in shots. That's what kills me, yeah. Though. You know what I mean? Like go get Edward Mordrake, walk away. Why do we have it? Oh shit, we don't have one. We gotta get one. I guess we have one. Hooray. Problem solved.
Do you think that the American Horror Story writers think that you take down a Ferris wheel every night? Like that's what they think is happening. They're putting it away every night.
I don't think they gave it a moment's thought.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, that's so fair.
I don't think it ever entered their head.
That is so fair. Well, we're not going to hear from Angus T. Jefferson for the rest of the episode, so don't get your hopes up. But we will get a new guy by the time this is over. We'll also get the either the conclusion or the non-conclusion of everything we've set up so far. At the end of this, and a lot of it's going to be really frustrating, especially especially for you, the listener, I'm sure. But we had to watch this shit.
Also, in case you were wondering, has everyone already resolved that they suddenly have feelings for Jimmy that they care about a lot? No, there's one more.
I forgot about that one. So,
yeah, that part is I'll just pretend I'm not here. Fuck off. Well, till next time, everybody. Look forward to that.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.